relatives of some kind, and they probably grew up and knew each other on and saw each other on occasion. John didn't know who the Messiah was going to be. He didn't know who the one that God was going to send. He didn't know the one that he was preparing the way for, but he said that I was told by God that the one whom I saw the Holy Spirit descending upon, this is the one. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And so Andrew and this other unnamed disciple see and hear, and they go off to see who he is. And then, of course, once Andrew gets to know Jesus, what does he do? He goes and gets Peter, his brother. And Peter comes and gets a name change. Well, actually, he's Simon, and then Peter changes his name to Cephas, which is in Greek, Peter. But what I want to talk about this morning is inviting others to follow Jesus. I've been talking on Sunday mornings about what it means to follow Jesus. Jesus said, come, follow me. So what does that mean? So we've been looking at some passages in the Gospels where Jesus talks about coming and following him. And I believe that one of the things we ought to be doing is inviting others to follow Jesus. However, I want us to see, though, that here it's something natural. It's not a command. It's not something that Jesus said, you must go do this. You know, there are some churches that actually sort of keep track of the number of people that you invite. Some of those were within our own fellowship some years ago and maybe still might be active in that way. They sort of kept track of whether or not you were inviting people. And I think that's really a bad way to go about it, because that means then that there's just the pressure to do that. When I was in San Diego, worked at this place called C&R Clothiers. We sold men's suits for a really good price back then. It was pretty nice. I got a salary each week, plus commission. And I didn't do too bad. And then somewhere along the way, Mr. C lost control and Mr. R took over of C&R. And Mr. R decided that the way really to increase business was to put a quota on everybody. And so he let us all know that we have a quota. We had to sell so many suits. And you know how many suits I sold the first 2 weeks those quota had was on? I sold zero. Literally. I was so nervous about everybody that came in that I just lost my natural ability to do so. And I think sometimes it's that way with us, that when there's that pressure on. But I think that if we'll stop and take a look at what John tells us about Jesus in this chapter, and why then, and we understand then why Andrew went and got Peter, and then why Philip went and got Nathanael, that we'll see a little different picture of what it means to invite others to follow Jesus. Now, what John does is he presents Jesus to us in a unique, in the way that he is. And one of the first things he tells us about Jesus is he's the Messiah. Now, usually we see the word Christ in the other Gospels, and we see the word Christ in Paul's letters, which is the Greek word Christos, and it means the anointed one. But here, what John does is he uses the word Messiah, kind of borrowed from either the Aramaic or the Hebrew, in order to help connect us back into the Old Testament. The Messiah is the anointed one, and there were anointed ones in terms of kings, in terms of priests, and these were ones who were set apart for a special purpose of God. And they knew that one day God was going to send the anointed one, the Messiah, the one who would bring everything together. In fact, when Philip goes and finds Nathanael in verse 45, he says, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also in the prophets wrote. So you see, back in the Old Testament, there was this grand story going on, and God said, I'm going to have a descendant who's going to bless all the families of the earth. And David, you're going to have a descendant who's going to rule forever. And so they were all waiting for that one descendant to come, that one individual who would be the fulfillment of everything that they had hoped for. And so Andrew, who knew scriptures, and Philip, who knew scriptures, was waiting. And when John said, when they came in contact with Jesus and heard what he taught, they knew he was the Messiah. And so they went and told Peter, and they went and told Nathanael, we have found the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. We also find later on that Nathanael, after he comes and interacts with Jesus, he calls him the Son of God. Now, usually when we think of Son of God, we only think just in kind of in terms of the way the New Testament presents the Son of God, as Jesus as the second member of the Trinity, the Son of God who came to be flesh. But also in the Old Testament, though, it connects us back there, because you see, back there, when David received the promise from God that God would put a descendant on his throne, God said, I will be a father to him and he will be a son to me. And so the kings in Israel were called sons of God. And that's why then it's also important to see that Nathanael connects Jesus as the king of Israel. So they saw Jesus as the descendant of David, who was going to ascend to that throne of David and who would begin to rule just like God promised. But of course, what we find out in Jesus is that that term Son of God really has a deeper meaning than it did in the Old Testament. That now we actually have God in the flesh. He really is the Son of God in ways that we cannot begin to imagine, or they couldn't begin to imagine back then. And so when they interacted with Jesus, here again is the descendant of David who's going to ascend to David's throne, is going to rule forever. That one who's going to banish all the Romans, who's going to banish all the nations, and the one who's going to rule forever for us. Jesus himself also helps them to understand as he connects with them down in verse 51 that he's... Oh, I'm sorry. Before we get there, we've already learned that Jesus is the Lamb of God. We live in a society in which we don't have animal sacrifices. What would it be like to be raised in a society where there's animal sacrifices a lot? You see, every morning, the priests at the temple were supposed to offer a burnt offering. Every night, as the sun goes down, they were supposed to offer a burnt offering. And then on special days, they offered more burnt offerings. During the feast days, they would offer burnt offerings every day during the feast. And so there was a constant sacrifice. But I think here, though, what John has reference to, and what John the Apostle writing this has reference to, though, is back in the Passover. In the Passover, in Egypt, when the Egyptians held the Israelites captive, God told them to take a lamb, to kill it, to drain its blood, to take a hyssop branch and put it over their doorposts and over their door. And then the angel of death would pass over. And Jesus is the Lamb of God that causes God, the angel, to pass over us. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the Lamb that says judgment will pass over us. And you see, now they have a clear understanding of what's going on. Jesus is the one that they've been waiting for. Now, the Gentiles may not have been waiting for him, but the Jews were. And Andrew, knowing Scripture, recognizes this, and so does Nathanael, whom Philip brings to Jesus as well. And then, of course, Jesus himself connects in a unique way down in verse 51. He says to Nathanael, "Truly I say to you, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now, what he has reference to is this dream that Jacob had back in Genesis. Jacob fell asleep and he saw this ladder ascending from earth to heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And Jesus now connects us with that idea, with that dream, and says, "I am that bridge. I am the one who's going to connect heaven and earth." Because you see, God rules up in heaven. And we have cut ourselves off from heaven. We have, through our sin, said we don't want God to rule over us. Back in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, when the Israelites decided that Samuel was too old and they didn't like his sons, they said, "Give us a king to rule over us like the nations." And of course, Samuel was hurt by this. And God said, "Samuel, don't be hurt by it. They haven't rejected you, but they've rejected me from being king." So even though they asked for a king to rule over them, they were rejecting God as king, which really in ways we always do and always will. But Jesus says, "I've come to be that bridge. I've come now to connect heaven and earth. I've come now to be." And so through the King of Israel and through the Son of God and through Messiah and through Lamb of God, Jesus now bridges heaven and earth. And then, of course, lastly, what they call him is rabbi, teacher, and master. Because you see, now that he's come, he calls us to follow him. He calls us to be a part of him. But you see, what I want you to see in all of this is the fact that this is what they experienced with Jesus. They came and they encountered Jesus. They interacted with him. They learned. They listened to him. And they found out that this is who he is. And then once they realized that, that knowledge could not be kept within them. They had to go tell somebody. And so what did they do? They went and they invited family. That's what Andrew did. But I want you to notice what it says about Andrew. In my translation, in verse 41, it says, he found first his own brother Simon. Doesn't that kind of give you the idea that Simon was just the first among many? That Andrew was that type of individual who decided, I'm going to go out and tell everybody about it. Andrew didn't have the incentive of gaining $50 to his account. Andrew didn't have the incentive of 1 month free. Andrew didn't have the incentive that would accrue any value to himself whatsoever. All he had was the knowledge that he was passing. All he had was the joy of passing on that knowledge to other people. Word of mouth. That's all he had. And so Andrew went and he invited family. And family needs to know about Jesus, don't they? Andrew knew that Simon needed to know about it because Simon was waiting for the Messiah as well. And you know, there are a lot of people in this world, some of whom are your family, who don't know the Messiah. Unfortunately, we're in our society today, even though Scripture used to be something that was taught and something that was talked about and mentioned in public, less and less that's so. And so you're meeting more and more people who don't know what Jesus is all about. They might know that Jesus is somebody famous. They might know that Jesus is somebody loving. They might notice that Jesus is head over some religion. But do they really know that Jesus is the Messiah? Do they really know that He's the Lamb of God? Do they really know that He's the Savior of the world? Do they really know those things? They don't. But you do. Philip, even though I didn't have Damien read the all of the text for us, but in John chapter 1, 43 and following, Philip, who's another disciple who meets Jesus, he goes and invites Nathanael. And so here's a friend that is being invited. Again, you've got friends, don't you? You may work with them. They may be your next-door neighbors. They may be, who knows who they might be. You might have people who are friends. And again, there are some of them who might know a little bit about Jesus, but not very much. But you know who Jesus is. And they need to know that they need to know Jesus. Now, sometimes you might know people who are skeptics, and that's kind of what Nathanael is. When Philip came up and says, we found him, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Now, I'm assuming that when Nathanael calls him son of Joseph, that somehow that rings a bell, that maybe Joseph of Nazareth was somebody well-known. We don't know, because this is about the only place where Jesus is connected with Joseph in that way, as his son. But Jesus is from Nazareth, and Nathanael asked the first question, can anything good come from Nazareth? Now, we've got places where we think that about America, don't we? You know, if you live in New Jersey, the first question is, can anything good come from Camden? Can anything good come from Newark? Those are places we, even in New Jersey, try to avoid. Unless you're going to the airport, then you can avoid it. But we all have places where we think nothing good can come from. And don't you know that in Israel, that's what they said. Can anything good come from Nazareth? And yet that's the very place that God chose to bring His Son into this world. The very place where everybody would be skeptical about. And yet it's here where God launched the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Israel, the Savior of the world. And Nathanael, though, in encountering Jesus, came to believe that He is the Son of God, the King of Israel, the Messiah. And of course, you have unbelievers, people who don't believe at all. And they need to know about Jesus. And then there's acquaintances, people that you've maybe met along the way. And then, of course, there's also your neighbors. There's all kinds of people to invite. Because these people need to know about Jesus. They do. But you know, trying to get up here sometimes and forcing you to feel guilty about not inviting them isn't always the best way to do it, as I've already said. Maybe, again, we need another dose of who is Jesus and how important is He to you? As Jeff had us sing before the offering, Lord, You are more precious to us than gold and silver. Is that really true? Is that really true? But you know, we have lots of opportunities within our congregation to invite folks. We have services. And you know, when people come to services here, and I've heard some visitors say, we're a pretty friendly bunch. We are. We may not be perfect, but we're perfect for right now. And yes, we do reach out. We do say hi, and we do introduce ourselves and try to find out who our visitors are. Remember SingFest that we had here just a few months ago? I was really amazed at the number of folks in our congregation who invited their neighbors. People, you know, we had a couple people from the community that saw the signs and came, but you had neighbors that you brought, and what a great time we had singing those songs. There's VBS. Of course, we get the kids to invite their friends and so forth, but there's opportunities there. Come November, we're going to have Friends and Family Day, an opportunity to invite friends as well. Giveaway day here next month. You may want to invite some folks that you know that could use a helping hand. You know, our potlucks are really good times to invite folks. Have them come and eat with us. Eating is such a great time to sit down and talk and get to know people. So those are our opportunities to invite folks. But ultimately, though, what we really want to do is to tell folks, behold the Lamb of God. Behold, Jesus is something more than you can imagine. Behold, Jesus is not just this figure back in history that everybody talks about. Behold, Jesus is not just this figure back there that talked about love. Jesus came to give His life for us. He was the fulfillment of God's plan that would overcome the rebellion that Adam and Eve started back in Genesis chapter 3. He is the one who would bring us back to God. He is the one who's going to bridge our world back to heaven where God rules from. And so now that you know who Jesus is, what are you going to do now? You know who He is. You know why He came. You know other people need Him. And you know others have been invited as well. I was invited. When I went to Pepperdine, I'd never heard about this fellowship called Churches of Christ. And yet I got invited to devotionals. I got invited to services. I got invited here and there. None of it really kept at the time, or none of it took hold, until, of course, I got down to San Diego. And then when I lived with Frank and Nancy, and Frank said, come on, come to church with us. And here I am today. Not to embarrass, but Jan Garnto was telling us during Bible class that Bill, who was attending services with her, got a letter inviting him to a class. And he came. And here sits Bill Garnto, a Christian now. So you see, we have a great Savior. And we have a great God who loves us and cares about us, who sent that Savior. And so you see, following Jesus means inviting others. And so when we come to understand that Jesus is the Lamb of God, then what do? We invite people in order to know Him. We invite people to come and to encounter Him. You don't necessarily have to teach them. You don't necessarily have to get them into the water right away. Just say, come and take a look. Come and study with us. Come and see what the Bible says about Jesus. And in that way, then, once they get to know Jesus, once they read what He is all about, then they will take that step. And then once they've done that, then they get to take the opportunity now to share with others who Jesus really is and to invite them to come and follow Jesus as well. And so you see, following Jesus means getting to know Him in such a way that you cannot keep quiet. Maybe you don't have the gift of teaching. Maybe you don't have the gift of trying to convince people how to become Christians, but you have the gift that says, I love what Jesus has done for me. You have the innate sense that says, I've got to let other people know in some way. And so you just say, come and follow me as I follow Jesus. And that's what we do. And what a joy it is to follow the one who loves us, to follow the one who died for us, and to share Him with other folks. And this morning, if you've not been invited, I want to invite you to come and follow Jesus. To come and to learn about your past that is sinful and needs to be repented of. To come then and confess the name of Jesus so that you might then express your faith in what He did for you, that He died for you, He was buried for you, He was raised again. And then you, by faith, might be baptized into His name so that you will connect with His death, his burial and his resurrection by immersion. And if you're ready to do that, we offer you the invitation because we're ready to help you. And if you as a member of God's family need our prayers, maybe there's something going on in your life, let us know because we want to pray with you and encourage you. We are family here. And we want to help whatever is going on in your life. So please, let us know. If there's any reason that you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.
Service this morning. We invite you back this evening at 5 o'clock for our evening service and then also on Wednesday night at 7. There are several activities going on. You will look in the bulletin and keep up with those. There is a senior outing that is coming up August the 20th. They'll be going to Cook's Restaurant in DeLand. The bus will leave here at 5:15, and there is a sign-up list out on the board for that. Also, the August birthdays will be August the 25th. That's a Thursday night. It will be at Golden Corral. There's a sign-up list for that also out on the board. So continue to remember those activities as well as the others with our Bible classes every Sunday morning at 9:30. The children's worship that goes on during our worship service here. There are a lot of things that we can be involved in and shedding, spreading, and sharing God's word. There are a lot of prayer requests that are in our bulletin that we want to remember those that need our prayers. The list goes on, and that's not necessarily everyone. We want to continue to remember. We want to be remembering Teresa Bennett, the sister of Pat Anderson. Also, Laurie Harner, we've been praying for her. That is Tina Watson's sister. Nancy Reed, which is Carol Jacoby's sister, continue to be praying for her. Kevin and Austin Holder, Jerry's sons. Kevin had knee surgery a week ago, maybe a little over a week ago, so we want to continue to be praying for his recovery, just as well as those that are serving in the military that are going on. With Lee Victorelli, it's good to see her out this morning, saw her earlier. We want to also remember Marcella Hudson. The list, as I said, continues to go on, so we want to continue to remember those situations. Jan Garnto is asking for prayers for Vicki Pentecost. That is a neighbor of hers that she has a kidney failure. I just want to continue to be praying for Vicki. Tom Houck asked for prayers this morning for a coworker of his, Laurie Brown. She is suffering with bronchitis and some issues there, so continue to be praying for her. I want to thank you for the prayers for Esther Miller. That is Andrea's mother. She had her surgery Thursday. It was a long day. The surgery went very well. She is hurting tremendously, as you can imagine. She has a long and hard road ahead of her for recovery, as well as others that have had surgeries going on. Continue to remember them. We've been praying for Peggy Gaff. That is Eugene Kessinger's sister. She's been battling cancer. She passed away. I think that was Friday. And so I want to continue to remember the Kessinger family. She's left behind a husband, Tony, children Isaac and Gretchen Foreman. We also want to remember Dwayne Kessinger. Of course, you should have been able to meet him while he was here during Eugene's death memorial service. Well, not just his death, but back through his time in the hospital. Continue to keep Dwayne and Nadine in your prayers. Their address we'll post out on the bulletin board. You can send cards to them, but continue to be praying for them and remembering them. In your bulletin this morning, there was an insert in some of those. This is meant to encourage you. If you remember from Bob's lesson last Sunday, just on reminding us of the cost of following Jesus, then his lesson this morning, just on knowing that we are called to follow Jesus. The cost has been laid out for us. God has spread that out to us. I want to remind you also that in Matthew 7:21, Jesus is telling us to remember that not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does God's will that is in heaven. So from the lesson this morning, there is so much going on that we are to share the gospel, but we're also to be sharing our lives as well. God is listening to your heart, and God is listening to my heart. The question is, what is my heart telling God? God never fails. God loves us through all situations. There's a song that we sing that the words are, how do you explain, how do you describe a love that goes from east to west, and it is as deep as it is wide.